This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so this is our second share for today. And as you know, the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing the house of Rashi, the family of Rashi. We've discussed many generations. This coming week is going to be the yard site of Rashi on Chav Tes Tammuz. So for those of us who are able to join, it will be really a historic opportunity. For those who have been preparing and learning with us, so you'll be vicariously joining us through our limud, because we know that if somebody cannot make it to a matseva, the ikur monument of the Gedolei Yisrael are not their graves. That's really just a landmark. But the main memorial of the Gedolei Yisrael is their Torah. And when one learns the Torah of the Gedolim, it is like standing at their matseva. So really, the main benefit of going to these places are not visiting the places of their death, but bringing these Gedolim to life. And I hope a little bit we're able to make the luminaries of whose Asher Mipi Amanu Chayim, I hope we're able to bring their personalities to life, so that when we learn their Torah, it's not just dry fact, but we're learning really Divrei Elokim Chayim. So we spoke about Rashi, which is generation one. We spoke about last Friday Rashi's son-in-laws, the Rivan, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nassan, who wrote the end of the commentary of Masechta Makos, and Rabbeinu Meir, the son-in-law of Rashi. That's generation two. We spoke for many weeks about generation three, the grandchildren of Rashi, mostly the children of Rabbeinu Meir. We spoke about Rabbeinu Tam. We spoke about Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Meir, the Rashbam. That's the three generations, Rashi, his sons-in-law, and his grandchildren. Today we're going to learn about generation four. Actually, generation four, five, and six. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you something. I may have mentioned it in passing one or two times, but today we're going to focus on it for real. If you ask most people who is the greatest of all the Rishonim, most would say the Rambam. And for Ashkenazim, this is not the case. Absolutely not. We consider two of the Balei HaTosfos the greatest of all the Rishonim, and it's not necessarily Rashi. And who are we to judge who is the greatest, who wasn't? So we have to rely on people who know how to measure these things. Today we're going to talk about not the third generation, Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. So, Rabbeinu Tam had a sister. I believe her name was Miriam. She was the Rashbam's sister also. This woman married the son of the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri was Rashi's student. His name was Reb Simcha Vitri. He had a son, Shmuel, who was known as Shmuel HaChassid. Shmuel HaChassid became the brother-in-law of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. He married her sister, and he produced Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Yitzchak was the spiritual heir of Rabbeinu Tam. If we could say Tosfos had an editor, it would be Rabbeinu Yitzchak. He's called the Ri Hazaken. If you ever see in Tosfos, Hiksha Hari, or Hari Hazaken, he is the primary architect of Tosfos. He is the primary editor and redactor of Tosfos. Again, we're going to see Rabbeinu Tam had 80 Talmidim who sat before him, and he had hundreds of students. And each student had their own Tosfos. But the compilation of Tosfos as we have it today, now here's another very important idea. And that is the editor of the Tosfos of each Masechta, there's a different editor. Some Tosfos in, let's say, on Yuma, Marami Rutenberg. That's why very often you cannot ask a contradiction between Tosfos in one place and the other, because they're different people. But most people don't know that. Every Masechta is a different story. Tosfos in every Masechta is a different editor. But the main architect of Tosfos is the Ri Hazaken. We're going to see the Ri Hazaken was Kemat, Or maybe he was the greatest of all the Rishonim, together with his uncle, Rabbeinu Tam. The Chidah says that Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bal HaToisus, who's the Ri Bar Shmuel, he's the Ri Azaken. Okay, so one name is Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Another name is Rabbeinu Ri Bar Shmuel. He's the Ri Hazaken. Just do me a favor, whatever marks are made, everybody sees it, okay? V'hu ben achos Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam. He's the son of the sister of the Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. And he is the grandson of the daughter of Rashi. Meaning Rashi had a daughter. Her name was Yocheved. Yocheved had a son. Yocheved had a daughter, Miriam, and Miriam had a son, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Very simple here. Rashi's son-in-law, Rabbeinu Meir, had four sons and one daughter, or at least one daughter. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, the Rivam, Rabbeinu Shloimai, and their daughter married Rav Shmuel HaChassid, and that produced Rashi's great-grandson, the Ri Hazaken. Now, the Ri Hazaken had a son, Rabbeinu Elchanan. Okay, we're going to talk about him because he was the son of the Ri Hazaken. He's already fifth generation. So the Ri Hazaken is fourth generation. Ri Hazaken is the grandson of the Machzer Vitri. The Ri Hazaken himself says, it's brought in the Mordechai, in the beginning of Modern Katim, Zalashon, Re'isi B'Machzer Vitri, Sim Zekeni Rabbeinu Simcha Mitamid Rashi Ayin Sham. Okay? And the Chidah is very troubled that the Bach says, Rabbeinu Shmaya wrote the Machzer Vitri, it's not true. And the Knesset HaGdoila, he says that the Ri Hazaken is the son of the Rashbam, it's not true. Now, the Chidah brings that Rabbeinu Yehuda of Paris and Rabbeinu Shimshon of Shans and his brother the Ritzbah were all students of the Ri Hazaken. Now, this is very important. So again, the Ri Hazaken is Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, Rashi's great-grandson. His students were Rabbi Yehuda of Paris, Rabbi Shimshon of Shans, the Ritzbah. Do you remember in Tosfos always says, Hiksha Ritzbah, Hiksha Ritzbah. The Ritzbah is Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Avraham, or he's known as Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaBachor. Why HaBachor? As opposed to his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Ri Hazaken, so the next generation they called Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaBachor. Fine. Now, what's very interesting is the Ri Hazaken had a son, Rabbeinu Elchanan. Often Tosfos will say, Hiksha Rabbeinu Elchanan, he was the son of the Ri Hazaken. And by the way, he had a son, Rabbeinu Shmuel. We're going to talk about him at the end of the shir. Now, I want to share with you a few things about the Ri Hazaken and Rabbeinu Tam. The first thing is that Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri Hazaken had a very special proficiency and a unique knowledge. Namely, they were the first ones to master the Yushalmi and to bring the Yushalmi into explaining the Bavli. The Amshel Shloimei writes that Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, they were baki in the Yushalmi more than anyone in the history of the world. That's the first yidia. Next idea. You know, there's a question. We know Sveika Dairaisa L'chumra. Why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur? We keep 2 days of Pesach. We keep 2 days of Shavuos. Why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur? The answer is because people wouldn't survive. But really, we should. The Ri Hazaken always fasted 2 days Yom Kippur because of Sveika D'Yayma. That's one of the saintly practices of the Ri Hazaken. It's brought in the Piskei HaToisus of Menachos Ois Reish Aleph. The Piskei HaToysra says that by Mili Dairaisa we're worried about a Safek, and really we should fast 2 days Yom Kippur, but we can't be Goyza on the Tzibur. Elo Emkein HaTzibur Chem Lamiba. The Ri Hoya Mesaneh, but the Ri Azokin he would fast. Now, watch this. In the Sefer Tzedol Adarech, he brings that Rabbeinu Yitzchak the Ri, the son of the sister Rabbeinu Tam, He said he taught in yeshiva. He said my rabbeim from France testified that in front of the Ri Azokin he always had 60 talmidim. Each talmid would listen to the halacha. Listen to this. And each talmid was in charge of mastering one of the 60 mesechtas of Shas. The Ri made a deal with his 60 talmidim. Each one was in charge of a different mesechta. This way, if they had to say, oh, get me a chulin, get me a krisos, that guy, that talmid would stand up and he would say it verbatim. And this way, Rabbeinu Yitzchak was sure that whatever he would teach would be consistent with the entire Shas. Gam hayoloymar kolecha levadai mesechta. He would teach each one a mesechta. Shalai hayoloymar chaveray. Meaning, Rabbeinu Yitzchak made sure that when he would give shir, everything he said was consistent with the whole Shas. And any time he said something that was questionable about something else in Shas, it was up for discussion among the group. That's the kind of Melchamta Yishal Torah. So you had 60 lions, warriors, at the shir of the Ri Azokin, and whatever he would say, doesn't fit into Krisus, doesn't fit into Yavamis, doesn't fit into Ksubis, one of them would stand up, and they would iron it out. Now here's the key. This is brought in the introduction of the Amshel Shloimai. He says that I found in the Tshuva the Rosh that Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Maimon, the Rambam, Gadol Hayom Oid B'chol HaChachmais. He was great in all the wisdoms. Yikam Makayim K'shu Choylekim Rabbeinu Tam V'ri. But when he argues with Rabbeinu Tam V'ri, Shaloi L'shmaya Elav, don't listen to the Rambam. Leilech Achari Balei HaToysvis. Ki Kabbalah B'yadai, we have a tradition from the Rosh. Rabbeinu Tam, V'ri Atzarfasim, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, Hayu Gedoylim, B'chachma, they were wiser than the Rambam, Uv'minyan, and they had more students than the Rambam. That is the tradition of Ashkenazic Jewry. So sometimes people get an inferiority complex when they get, yo, the Sfardim, they had the Rif, they had the Rambam, yes. And who are we to even evaluate the brilliant brightness of such luminaries? However, the Amshel Shloimai says that we have a tradition from the Rosh that as bright of a sun that the Rambam was, the divine light of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri was even brighter. By the way, I'll show you the lesson of the Rosh. My friend Rav Shlomo Margarefta showed me the Ritva. The Ritva Amsachim says, and we understand the Ritva was a Sfardi. He says, "Ein lanu gadol b'rabbanim mi Moshe Rabbeinu shadon kein." We don't have anyone greater since Moshe than the Rambam. That's what the Sfardim say. We say, "Yeah, we do." Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Rush writes, "Yoyser yesh lanu lismay chaleh mi adivir Rav Moshe," because the Rambam writes divrei nevua b'loy raya. You hear this? Because when the Rambam writes halacha, he doesn't cite his sources. So as great as the Rambam was, greater is someone who tells you where he gets it from. And Tosfos always quotes the Gemara he got it from. The Rambam, we don't know where he got it from. In fact, legend has it that the son of the Rambam challenged the Rambam on that, and the Rambam regretted doing that. But that's what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that the words of the Rambam, we don't know what the source is. And Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri were muflagum yoyser b'chachma v'minyan. Not that I could be machria, says the Rosh. But I'm just telling you my tradition. The Amarik writes, there was no one greater than Rabbeinu Yitzchak, that's the Ri, and Rabbeinu Elchanan, his son, is on par with Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. What happened to Rabbeinu Elchanan? Very sadly, Rabbeinu Elchanan was killed, I believe, in the Third Crusade. And Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hazokain outlived him. The Marshal writes in his famous Tshuva Simen Chavtes that after Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri was the Rosh Shiva in Ramron, will be there. You know, it's very interesting to me. People go all over. They go to Kerestir, they go to Lezhensk. But the greatest centers in the history of the tradition of Torah were where the Balei HaTosfos taught. In the year Tav Tav Kuf Mem Dalet, Rabbeinu Elchanan was killed. In fact, we actually have, and it's published now, the Tosfos of Rabbeinu Elchanan. You know, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah refers to Rome as Roimi Chayeves, Roimi the ones that are chayav, meaning they're obligatory. In other words, they're wicked. So usually we say they're wicked because they murder Jews. Rabbeinu Elchanan says, you know why Rome is considered wicked? Because of one particular act that they did. Not because they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but because they killed Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyoin. Isn't that amazing? Rabbeinu Elchanan writes that the reason why Rome is considered wicked is not because of what they did to the temple, because of what they did to the tzaddikim. So the Mefarshim ask, what about what they did to Rabbi Akiva? What about what they did to other Tanon? Well, what they did to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon was in a way the worst, because he was wrapped in the Sefer Torah. So Marv Rabbeisai, that's the Ri Hazakein. I think, you know, when you see a Tosfos quoting the Ri Hazakein, Tosfos asks, this is the greatest of all the Rishonim. Now, the Ri Hazakein had a number of Talmidim. One was Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Avram of Shans. The Ri Shans. Here, let's see. Now, I want to tell you something interesting. The Ri Shans is not the Riva. You know who the Ri Shans is? You ever see in Tosfos Hiksha Ritzba? You ever see the name Ritzba? The Ritzba is Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Avram, student of the Ri Hazakein. Now, the Chida quotes the Prima Gadim that says that the Riva is the Ritzba, the Ribachur. It's not really true. The Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Avram of Shans is the Ri Habachur, is the Ritzba. Sometimes Tosfos says Riva and it's referring to the Ritzba. But most of the time, Riva is Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Ashar. So the Ritzba, you ever hear of that name? I'm sure you've come across the Ritzba. The Ritzba is a student of the Ri Hazakein, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Avram. He had a brother from Shans, Rabbeinu Shimshon Bar Avram, also student of the Ri Hazakein. He wrote the classic commentary of Mishnah Yisroim and Taharos. He also wrote Tosfos Shans. You ever see Tosfos say, Hiksha Rashba? And people say, the Rashba. I know, the Rashba, like the Rashba and the Ritva. No, Tosfos is not quoting the Rashba. The Rashba came later. When Tosfos quotes the Rashba, it's Rabbeinu Shimshon Bar Avram, the brother of the Ritzba. There's the Ritzba and the Rashba. V'hu Rashba Hamuzkar B'Tosfos. Now I want to share with you an amazing thing. So we have Rashi. We have his two son-in-laws, the Rivan and the Rabbeinu Meir. We have the third generation is Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam, the Rivam, and their sister. The fourth generation is the Rehazaken. The Rehazaken had a son, Rabbeinu Elchanan, who was on par with Rabbeinu Elchanan was on par with the Rehazaken. Rabbeinu Elchanan, before he was killed, he had a son, Rabbeinu Shmuel. He's Rabbeinu Shmuel, then Rabbeinu Elchanan, then Rabbeinu Yitzchak. He is the author of Tosfos on Moed Katan. Okay? Every Tosfos on Moed Katan was redacted by sixth generation from Rashi. And really what I want to bring to your attention is each Masechta had different editors of Tosfos. So in the Sefer Balei HaTosfos, he brings that the author of Tosfos Moed Katan relates that I remember when I was young, my grandfather, so let's think, who was his grandfather? His father was Rabbeinu Elchanan, and his grandfather was Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Rehazaken. That the Rehazaken would not go back to seed in Avelos until the fourth week. I don't know why. So we don't know who this we don't know who this writer is, but he's saying his grandfather, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Now the Ritzpah writes in a tshuva that I heard from Rabbeinu Shmuel, the son of Rabbeinu Elchanan, that the Rehazaken did not go back to see to the fourth week. So now we know that the author of Moed Katan was saying, I remember my grandfather was Rabbeinu Shmuel. There is no doubt, says the author of Sefer Balei HaTosfos, that Rabbeinu Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Elchanan, grandson of the Rehazaken, he is the one speaking to us in Tosfos Moed Katan. So that's really an amazing thing, and it's we know from the Chida that the author of Yuma is Maram Rotenberg, but every Masechta had a different character and a different redactor. Okay, Marv Rabbeisa, you should know that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Balei HaTosfos. In fact, on one of the Crusades, a few hundred of them made Aliyah with the Crusaders, and they made a deal. We'll go up with you. When they got to Eretz Yisrael, they did not let the Balei HaTosfos into Yerushalayim. So the Balei HaTosfos went to Akko, and they actually set up shop in a Crusader castle. They bribed them. And in Akko today, the tradition is, are buried hundreds of Balei HaTosfos. So, you know, what's incredible, as we mentioned, that the fate of French Jewry was very different than Sephardic Jewry. In France, during the Crusades, very few Jews converted to Christianity. As opposed to in the Sephardic lands, there was rampant conversion. Rampant. I'm not talking about thousands, not talking about tens of thousands, we're talking about hundreds of thousands. So clearly, the Gedolim in France really impacted French Jewry in an incredible way, whether it was because of their very in-depth style of learning or the fact that there were literally hundreds and hundreds of Gedolei Ma'orei Balei HaTosfos, but they were the backbone of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael through the Balei HaTosfos, and I hope some of their names will be a little bit more meaningful to us. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. And there will be Shir Bez Hashem Monday morning, okay? Kol Tov, everyone. Agun Shabbos. Thank you. Kol Tov, everyone. Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.